rest of us, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verses 21 through 33 this morning. I've titled the message the Lord put on my heart for this Father's Day, Living as Images of Jesus. Living as Images of Jesus. Again, Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that today you will unfold your word to us, that, Lord, by your Spirit, you will cause it to go forth and take root in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, we want to be more like you. I know that the fathers that are here want to be godly fathers. And Lord, we just pray that you will empower us today to do that. Lord, put the watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but this passage starts out, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and goes right into verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. But we live in a culture where if I look up when I'm reading that, more than likely I would see more than one woman bristle right up. And it's because of the culture that we live in. Also, it's because the men that are called to love their wives as Christ loves the church haven't been doing that. So when the word comes forth from the Word of God challenging a wife that she should submit to your husband as Christ is submitted to the Father, as the church is submitted to Christ, you see the chain of authority. Women bristle up when they've been in a bad situation, because God calls man to the husband to love the wife as Christ loves the church. And when that happens, a woman then has a responsibility to respond to that by coming alongside their husband. Am I making sense? Yes. Ultimately, as we look at this, you got to realize If you're going to have children, if you're going to be a father, then you're going to be a husband too, hopefully. I know in our culture that's not a requirement, but it is in the Word of God. Better get a couple amens, or I'm going to back up and start some other places too. I'll get busy. Remember, I just come back from vacation. I'm feisty. So, at the end of the day, it's not as much of who is in charge as it is that the husband and wife present a united front. When a husband and wife present a united front, united under the headship of Christ, then the children have a united front. Because I want you to understand something. I don't know how many of you have raised multiple kids, but we raised three of them, and we've got 8 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild with another one on the way. So my wife and I have got a little experience. But let me tell you this. Your kids are always going to present a united front against you. Can I get a witness on that this morning? They have that down from the womb. Man, they plot against you. They work, you know. I seen our kids doing that, and I didn't even find out about half of it until they was adults. They tell on themselves now because they think it was pretty funny. But now they're reaching the point with their kids where it's not as funny either because their kids have been doing the same thing to them. Point is, children present a united front, and the father and mother need to present a united front. Amen. It's the way God designed it. So, the church is called to submit to Christ. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. You believe that? It says in everything. But then it goes right into verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. How do you love them? You love them like Christ loves the church. How is that? Christ gave his life for the church. Self-sacrificing love, guys, is what we are to express to our wives. And our wives will respond to that. This would be a good place for an amen from about 15, 20 women.
Amen.
Thank you. Makes me feel like I'm preaching. Maybe okay. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Goes on to talk about the fact that we nurture and care for our own bodies. Shouldn't we then nurture and care for our wives? Goes on to talk about washing them with the Word. My wife got a break on that the last 23 years. I've been a pastor. She's been sitting under my teaching, getting washed with the Word from the pulpit I've been preaching in for 23 years. You'd have to ask her whether that's been good or bad. She'll probably tell you some of it hasn't been all that good.
You preached for
20
years before that.
Oh. And there you have it. I guess I was preaching before I was preaching. There's some truth in that. I'll own it. Okay. I've told you, man. I'll own it. All right. For this is the reason, verse 31, that a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Can I talk to you for a minute? That cannot and will not ever happen where the two become one flesh. When it's two people of the same gender.
Amen. Amen.
God cannot, he will not, never has, bless that union.
That's right.
Never will. Never will. And then give them the freedom to adopt children? Put books in our schools that talk about my two dads? My two moms? That's the culture we're living in. And that's the culture that godly men, fathers, have to stand and war against. We have to stand up and speak up. This is something I've been saying for especially the last couple of years. That we really have a responsibility as believers, but fathers, leaders in your home, we have a responsibility to stand up and speak up and train our children in the way that they should go. Because I'm telling you right now, they're being indoctrinated. They're being indoctrinated by the world. If they're in the public school system, they are being indoctrinated. If they get on the internet, they are being indoctrinated. If they are watching television, they are being indoctrinated. If they play with other kids in the world that are raised in ungodly homes, they are being indoctrinated. So fathers, it's time for us to stand up and speak up and take our post as the guardians of our families. It's time for the champions to stand up and say no more. Goes on to say in verse 32, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There are atrocities that happen in our culture, guys, and it produces messed up kids because they're dysfunctional families. If you have a man that disrespects his wife constantly in front of the kids, those kids are growing up in a dysfunctional home. If you've got a woman with a strong personality, I'm saying that instead of saying Jezebel, and constantly putting down the husband, and the husband is never good enough, and warring against him and the position that God has given him, you are raising your children in a dysfunctional home, and you're going to reap from what you are sowing. Somebody hearing what I'm putting down today? And it is worse now in our culture than I believe it ever has been in history. Listen, in my opinion, we're not only as far as Sodom and Gomorrah, I think we've passed them up. And did that end well for them? It's time for the body of Christ to rise up and take their position in the world. The word of knowledge that God gave, my hair and my arms are still sticking out. I hope you guys got that so that we can get that typed up, because that came from here. It just come gushing out of me. Spirit of the Lord. Let's look back to the beginning in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Sometimes we just got to go back to the beginning and reflect on what was happening there. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen. You understand why I spoke up? We are created in the image of God. The way a husband relates to his wife is supposed to picture how Christ relates to his church. God said, "Let us make man in our image." God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now let's think about that for a minute. Who was he speaking to? God was the only one there. But he said, "Let us make man in our image." You see, already there we saw the Trinity.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yes. Let us, the Godhead, right?
Yes.
Make man in our image. One God, three persons. It's hard to wrap your mind around. It really is, but it's true. One God, three persons. One God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Well, it can't be the fact that we physically exactly look like God, all of us, because we all look different. Thank God that we do, because it would be boring if everybody looked the same. Right? So what's up with that? Well, he's a triune God. And he created us triune beings. Body, soul, and spirit. Our makeup is body, soul, and spirit. Made in God, in God's image, we are triune beings. He makes it abundantly clear in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female. Nothing else.
That's right.
Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. And the ones he made female, he didn't make a mistake.
That's right.
They're females. Check the plumbing. The ones he made males are males. He did not make a mistake. Why am I telling you all this? Because in our culture, our kids are being brainwashed. Fathers, speak the truth to your children. Be the guardian of the gateway to your home. Wives, do everything you can to be a helpmate in helping with that. I am on this heavy because I have been running into way too many people that proclaim to be Christians and have been swayed into believing that God makes mistakes when he creates people. And I'm here to tell you that every person that has gone down that road, they are deceived. And they're taking themselves and everyone that follows them off into the ditch, and they're going to hell. That's the reality of it. Because God said it's an abomination. God said it's an abomination, not Pastor Wayne. God said it's an abomination. Not acceptable. And to embrace that lifestyle is no different than a person that embraces the thoughts that they have to commit murder and go and commit murder because it's sin.
Yes.
Well, this is not popular to preach today. You want some good news? See, there. First, I'll give you the bad news. There's denominations that are toppling. Oh, all of them, just boom, boom. They're falling like dominoes that are adopting to embrace the LGBTQ and however many other letters and numbers there are now. I can't keep up with it. And I don't care because, see, the Word of God says He created them male and female. Never in my lifetime has it been more important for true believers to stand up and speak up. Is it easy? Will you be attacked? Probably. I'm saying, bring it. Bring it. Whatever. I'm going to stand for the truth with my dying breath. I'm going to stand for the truth. I got to give you the good news. Recently, the denomination that my wife and I were in years ago before I was pastoring, the Christian Reform Church denomination, just had a vote and struck down embracing the LGBTQ. Praise God for that, because denominations are toppling like crazy, guys. I'm not kidding you. I don't know how many of you are aware, but oh my gosh, it's gotten to the point where I'm going to take a stab at it. Probably 3 out of 4 denominations have already embraced the whole LGBTQ agenda. They're treating it as a gray area, and it's not a gray area. Mind you, God made me with a type A personality, so there aren't many gray areas in my thought process either. I'm being honest, all right? I'm being real. It's either right or it's wrong in my mind. I'm a classic type A. The way a husband relates to his wife is supposed to picture how Christ relates to his church. How do your children see you relating to your wife? Because see, that impacts your children. You know, my kids. Yeah, I said. My kids, when they were growing up, were like, I suspect, all of your kids. When my wife would hug me and give me a smooch, or I would do the same with her, the kids were like, Kathy said it's still that way. And then, when my wife was 42 and I was 45, and we found out she was with child, our kids freaked. They went, ew! They're still active! I love my wife, and I'm not going to apologize for it to anybody, not even my kids. familiar with Dr. Dobson and some others? But they will tell you, this is their field, they will tell you that while the children go, ew, it still creates in them a sense of security in the family because there is visibly that love relationship between the mom and the dad. It creates security. First Corinthians 11, verse 3. First Corinthians 11, verse 3. Says, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. The Father and Christ are united and equal. Are you with me? They are united and equal. With the Father leading and Christ responding, there is only one thing that Christ doesn't know because the Father has withheld it from him. And that is when the trumpet blows and signals it's time for Christ to return for his bride. That is the only thing. You can look through all 66 books from the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible. You can search it. I have many times. There is one thing that the Father hasn't told the Son, and that is when the trumpet's going to blow. Everything else, the Son is aware of everything that the Father's doing, has done, and does. He was there in the beginning. He read it. That's why we went back up to Genesis. It's laid once again, that groundwork, that foundation. We've got to understand that. It's foundation to many things. Likewise, husband and wife are to also be united and equal, with the husband leading and the wife responding. Same principle. A husband and father sends many messages about Jesus to his wife and to his children. If you grew up in a home where the father was much less than loving, then to have a preacher stand in the pulpit and talk about the loving father, it's a foreign concept to you, and it's something that God needs to heal. I myself had to go through a lot of healing because of my childhood. I don't say that because I had the worst people on earth for parents, because I didn't. But I didn't have the best ones either. I longed to be told I was loved even one time, and I never ever heard that I was loved from my father or my mother. I never heard those words. That's the truth. Dad was a very angry man. When he was having a bad day, I was going to have a bad day. It was different with my sisters. He didn't treat them that way. I was the only boy. So guess who caught it? So when people would talk to me, and I would hear preachers talk about the loving Father, see, what I'm preaching to you today is something that's real to me, because I could not wrap my mind around it. I didn't have any understanding of what that was. But I finally got low enough when I was 25 years old. I came to the end of myself, and I was at the bottom. And a pastor came to my house, and shared the love of God with me. And I had tried everything else, it seems, that the world had to offer. And I finally opened up my heart and said, I've tried everything else. I might as well give it a shot. And I did. And God flooded my soul with His love. And I not only knew about it, I sensed it inside me and have from that day forward. And my life began to change because of loving God that cared about me enough to die for me on the cross of Calvary. Gave His life for me and came into my heart. And then I began to have an understanding of who a loving Father is. The nurturing that comes from a mom is irreplaceable, but also the loving hand of the Father. Father in heaven and the earthly Father, along with the hand of discipline when needed, raises up secure children with an understanding of what it is to have a loving Father. So you see, we men have a huge responsibility to be those kind of people. And God helps us with that. He helps us with that. I didn't do everything right with my kids. Ask them, I'll tell you. I did the best I knew how at the time. I'm still learning. I'm probably a better grandfather than I was dad. Why? Because I've learned a lot over the years. Each one of your kids is different. Unfortunately, when they're born, you don't get a manual. Well, this is the manual for this one. Yeah. Serial number 0017. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Come on, parents, help. Every one of them is different. You've got to study them. Find their niches. Train them up in the way that they should go. Encourage them in the things that are strengths in their lives. Are you guys getting this?
Yes.
Well, that's the introduction. What, you laugh? First major point. Husbands and fathers who don't show love to their wives and picture and children. Husbands and fathers who don't show love to their wives and children picture Jesus as a mummy. If you are unfaithful, you picture Jesus as unloving. If you are harsh, unforgiving, and always angry, you picture Jesus that way. Fathers who abandon their families portray Jesus in that way. Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8? Back toward the front of the book. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. Says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Never will our God leave us or forsake us like man does. Never. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty good news to me. How about you? Never will He leave you or forsake you. He will never abandon you. He's an awesome God. Fathers need to affirm their children. Like I said, study them. As they're growing, study them. What's their giftings? Spiritually, what's it look like God has prepared them for? Encourage them in that way. Steer them in the way that they should go. Talk to them. Encourage wherever you can to follow after God first and foremost. Remember, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Absolutely. I have a story of a father who wouldn't affirm. My dad was also somewhat that way. Listen carefully. The town ball club was Lake Wobegon Schroeder's. So named because the starting nine were brothers, sons of E.J. Schroeder. E.J. was ticked off if a boy hit a bad pitch. He'd spit and curse and rail at him. And if a son hit a home run, E.J. would say, "Blind man could have hit that one. Your grandma could have put the wood on that one." If a guy couldn't hit that one out, there'd be something wrong with him, I'd say. Wind practically took that one out of here. Didn't even need to hit it much. And then he'd lean over and spit. So his sons could never please him. And if they did, he would never let them know. Once against Freeport, his oldest boy, Edwin Jim Jr., turned and ran to the center field fence for a very long fly ball. He could see that it was going to go over the fence, so he drew back and he threw his glove 40 feet in the air, snagged the ball, and caught the ball in the glove. When he turned around toward the dugout to see if his dad had seen it, E.J. was on his feet clapping, jumping up and down. But when he saw his boy look to him for affirmation, he immediately pretended he was swatting mosquitoes. The batter was called out. It was the third out. Jim ran back to the bench and stood by his dad, E.J. E.J. sat chewing in silence. Finally, he spoke up. "Yeah, I saw a man in Superior, Wisconsin do that a long time ago. But he did it at night and the ball was hit a lot harder." Fathers who won't affirm their children are doing them a great injustice. We are responsible before God. See, our God affirms us. Isn't that right? He corrects us because He loves us. But He also affirms us. The word we got today that came unexpectedly through word of knowledge. I get words of knowledge now and then. It doesn't happen all the time by any means. It's rare. Today, we got a word of knowledge. And it just gushed out of me. Those were words of encouragement and affirmation. That's who our God is. We as fathers, as godly fathers, need to be able to affirm our children. And you know what? So what if they're better at something than we were? Praise God! I want better for my kids and my grandkids than what I've had. I pray for that. If my children are better at something than me, it doesn't threaten me at all. I want that. Amen. But unfortunately, there are fathers out there that are so threatened by their children that they can't affirm them. I suspect that that was EJ's problem. What do you think? I rather doubt EJ ever threw a ball glove up 40 feet and snagged a ball in it and caught it and got somebody out and got third out. I rather doubt it. I think that's a pretty rare happening. There's a lot of dynamics in that that make it almost impossible. Fathers need their children, and children need their fathers. Raising children is one of the biggest challenges any of us will ever endeavor. Isn't it?
Yes.
But it is also one of the most rewarding in our lives. We need them, and they need us. They don't need us to check out. They need us to be involved, to be proactive in their lives, just like our loving Father is proactive in our lives. Malachi 4, verses 1 through 6. Malachi 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left of them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." The relationships in our families are so important to God that if they don't submit to that healing, he'll curse the ground. Think about that. Think about that. When the ground is cursed, it does not produce food. When the ground is cursed, there is starvation. Our family relationships, the relationship, ours with our God, first and foremost, this one. Then the relationships that are this way, with our spouse, with our children, with our grandchildren. Those relationships are so, so vitally important to God. So when we have relationships that are broken, it's not only right, but it's imperative that we pray endlessly that God will heal those relationships. And I believe when we do that, the time will come when we will see that healing come. Because it's by His will that those relationships be healed. We see it in the Word, right? You getting this? want to share a couple statistics with you. When a child in a family of unsaved people turns to the Lord, 17% of the time the whole family will. When a child is the first one that comes to Christ, 17% of the time the rest of the family will get saved. If the mother turns to the Lord, the whole family will get saved 33% of the time. That's when the mother comes to Christ, first one in the family. Mom comes to Christ, gets born again, then 33% of the time, the rest of the family will get saved. When a father is the first one that turns to the Lord, the percentage jumps to 93%. 93% of the time when a father gets born again, on fire for God, filled with the Holy Ghost, first one in the family that happens to, then 93% of the time the rest of the family will come to Christ. Tell me how important a father's relationship is with his God. What a privilege we have as husbands and fathers to display at least a hint of Jesus' leadership and make him real to our families. It's also an awesome responsibility that we should not take lightly. All of us make mistakes. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But I know that when we are purposeful, when we are intent on serving God, and we live that out before our families, we will see fruit from that. I hadn't intended to do this, but God has taken this service over. If you will, I would like every father here to come to this altar. Come stand at this altar. God has put on my heart to pray a prayer over you. I'm just going to flow in the Spirit and stretch out my hands. If you'd bow your heads, I want to pray over all you guys. Father in heaven, you are such an awesome Father. You are loving. You are forgiving. You discipline your children. We thank you for that. Never will you leave us or forsake us. Lord, pour out into each of us as fathers standing here right now before you those attributes. We want to be good fathers. We don't want our children to say someday, well, my dad never told me he loved me, and my dad never did this with me, and my dad never did that. Lord, we want to be fathers that our children can say things about that we left a legacy that glorified you, Lord God, not ourselves, but glorifies you. I pray over every one of these guys, and I pray that these attributes would manifest. Lord, fill every one of these hearts to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. That your Holy Spirit would guide us as we minister to our children and our grandchildren, as we walk through life with them, and give us the wisdom we need to identify their bents, their giftings, Lord God, and to be an encouragement and never to be a stumbling block to them, Lord God, from this day forward. I pray, Lord God, that your love would flow through us. And that, Lord, being men and many of us being taught that you don't express that love, Lord, that's a lie. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would open the floodgates and let the love of God flow in us and through us, that we would be conduits of love that flows to our family. And Lord, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Don't forget to grab your stuff, guys, before you go back to your seats. You can go ahead and do that. Praise God. Back scratches are a hot item, man. You ladies are getting a break. I love to have fun while we're learning. How about you? A little honey with that bad taste in medicine helps, doesn't it? Safely next weekend to hear from your word again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.